Good afternoon. My name is Billy, and I am a grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon and Alateen. Yeah, I'm going through this thing in my head, you know, how do I start this out and so far like that. I remember a sponsor I used to have that would say, well, it's not a big deal, just go up there and do a fist step. And I said, oh my God, he said, well, in a general way. Anyway, so so far, the two speakers I've heard drugs and alcohol and all of that, and you know, we're going to sprinkle in a little bit of Al-Anon and Alateen into this, and I can tell you that my story does include drugs and alcohol. I woke up. I can remember back in the early '80s. I woke up one afternoon, crawled out of bed, and walked out the door, and the kid said, Daddy, what's for breakfast? And I was like, oh my God. And I walked in and I looked at myself in the mirror, and that was it. I quit doing the drugs. Throughout the course of the years, I decided that I was going to kind of change the way I did things, because I was living in some great chaos. I mean, some chaos. You know, I come from a very protected childhood. I wasn't allowed to go to the football games. I wasn't allowed to go to parties. I wasn't allowed to go to concerts, you know, in town and so forth like that. I grew up in a small town. Now it's grown. It's really big. It's like 2,500 people. And but I wasn't allowed to do that. And I had a childhood that was just sitting in there just waiting to get loose. And as I got older and I finally got out of the house, you know, I took off and I started being a child. I was an adult. I was being a child. And that was pretty much fun for about 20 years. And through the course of that, I ended up with a couple wives. For a little while there, I had both of them at the same time. When I came into recovery, I had to figure out how to dissolve that. Turned out that the first divorce that I didn't get protected me from marrying the crazy one. I only had to have, you know, it's my story. That's just part of my fifth step. You know, during the course of that, I ended up in therapy. I ended up, that crazy lady told me that she was going to leave, and I crushed. I was just absolutely crushed. You know, here I was. I was there protecting her. I was protecting her kids. I was protecting a lot of stuff. And oh my God, what's going to happen to her? I ended up in, you know, sitting in front of mental health and crying for about an hour. And as I went up, finally went up the elevator, and I walked in there and sat down and talked for a while. Says, well, what about drugs? I have no drugs. What about alcohol? It's been 2 or 3 weeks since I've had anything to drink. And he says, oh, you're going down to the drug and alcohol program down there. I says, no, I got to do something for my depression. He says, well, you're going to do this, or we're not going to treat you for your depression. I says, okay, so I go down there. Yeah. Wow. Anyway. Boom, they tossed me into a 90-day program. They tossed me into, and part of that 90-day program is I needed to go to a 12-step program. Get a sign-in sheet. I take the sign-in sheet with me. All of a sudden, I got to go to AA meetings. I got to go to do something. And he says, hey, you don't have to go to AA meetings. Go to 12-step. Oh, where are they at? So I get the Al-Anon schedule, and I go to Al-Anon. I got to tell you, my first Al-Anon meeting that I went to was a big circle of people that was sitting in there, and they were talking about their ex and how horrible their ex was. And I was like, "This is, man, my ex is terrible, and I don't want to go through this." So I stayed in that AA meeting for years. I went back to him, and there was a lot of discussion about why I should still be in Al-Anon. He says, well, at least you know what you did to those people. And I'm like, I didn't do anything to those people. As So I spent the next 17 years just immersed in that AA program. And when I say immersed, I mean I was intergroup chair, I was DCM, I was all of that, and I was sponsor, and I was sponsored, and I did the steps, and I did the steps, and I did the steps three or four times through there. And I was batshit crazy at the end of all of that. And I was still in that, I was still in that therapy office. They were still giving me, you know, offering me meds. I would take meds for a while. I would get off of the meds for a while. I would take them. But I was still depressed. I still had, you know, and I would just trudge through it, but I always had this damn weight on my back. In the meantime, I met Sherry, and Sherry was down in Ventura, the best thing I ever found on the internet, by the way. And so I moved down there, and, you know, I get involved down there, and I get the home group and all this stuff, and she tells me, she says, alcoholism has impacted my life all these years. I don't know if I want to do that. I want you to be going to these meetings. I said, well, there's no meetings, there's no us, blah, 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 all that stuff, you know. And it was, so a few years later, she ends up going to conventions with me and PRASA and all that. A few years later, she gets into Al-Anon. So I go over there one night to, while she gets her medallion, I hear a few things. Some of the other people in there hear things. And next thing I know, I've got this one lady. Some of y'all know her. And I can say the first name. Dakota comes up to me and she says, I would like for you to sponsor me. I said, well, you know, what do you mean? You AA, Al-Anon. She says, I'm over in Al-Anon. I said, well, hey. But she says, I'm in AA too. I said, one program at a time. You decide which program you want. So anyway, we went through that, and we were trying to figure out how many years ago. So she's got about 13 or 14 years, and we had been here at least 3 or 4 years before that at Serenity and Sierra. So we've been here like 17 or 18 years of this roundup. This is one of our, you know, I remember kids running around selling tickets and all that stuff. You know, it was a lot of fun. So over the period of time I was hanging out with Dakota, I'm starting to hear some Al-Anon stuff, and then all of a sudden I get another guy that comes in, and Grant tells me that he needs a sponsor for his Al-Anon program. So we're sitting down and we're talking about Al-Anon. That's interesting. And I watch him now. To me, this is a second step meeting. Every meeting I go to is a step two meeting. Because when I hear that God does something for you, that tells that God can do that for me. So we started going through the Al-Anon program with Grant and a little bit with Dakota. And as we're going along, I'm starting to see things and feel things, starting to understand things. It's like, that childhood was pretty interesting that I never got to live. And look at all the things that would have been nice to have done. A few years later, it's somewhere between 8 and 10 years ago, we were getting ready to go into a book study, Opening Your Heart, Transforming Your Losses. And so we start that. It's an Al-Anon grief book. If you're pure AA, grab one anyway. You can hide it in the closet. But I will tell you, the first 3 weeks, I think it was, we were in the preface. We cried through that damn book in the preface. We started going through this grief. The grieving of my childhood that I never had. You know, and how, you know, for an adult, adult male to have that deeply embedded is just, holy shit, really? Really? You know, I should be able to just grow up and move on through this. I should be able to just get past it. I was talking to a friend of mine, and I said, well, you're an AA in Al-Anon, right? And he says, no. He says, I was an AA for many years. He says, I only do Al-Anon now. I said, why? He says, my steps and my traditions, my steps have proven to me that I drank at my Al-Anon issues. And I was like, what the hell does that mean? He says, you got to find out for yourself. So it turned out that I had to work my own steps, my own program. And one of the things that I used to drink at was I was lonely at night. So what else to do but to go down, grab a 12-pack, put it under your arm, drive around town until you find a backyard party. Jump out of your car with that 12-pack. Anybody lets you into their party with a 12-pack on your arm. Turns out that over a couple years, there was a lot of other people doing the same thing. You know, there were several of those things. You know, I needed the excitement. I didn't get that excitement as a kid, and I couldn't create the excitement. I had this buddy, he loved excitement, and he's like, come on. And he pumped down a half pint. I wouldn't drive around like that with him, and we'd take off, and, you know, here we are, we're trying to break into the back of somebody's fence or something like that. And all of a sudden, lightning would come. Boom! Literally, going over a cyclone fence, and the lightning strikes that damn fence, throws us into the bushes, and I'm like, man, I'm getting out of here. I'm not doing this anymore. No, it's a sign from God. We're supposed to be here. We're supposed to do this. I loved hanging out with those people. I loved it. So exhilarating. There's other ways to get excitement, I found out. But it sure was exciting when I needed it. You know, and I can go on and on about the craziness that I did hanging around with the people that I wanted to hang around in high school. I go back to high school now, all the people that I wanted to hang out with, they're either in hospitals, prisons, or dead. But I wanted to hang out. I wanted to be in there. I wanted to be with them. Well, so here I am, after telling people the whole time, you know, choose a program, choose what you're going to do. Am I an alcoholic? I don't know if I'm an alcoholic or not. Yeah, but I can tell you one thing. Al-Anon has treated my alcoholism and is treating my alcoholism. It is the one thing that has, you know, I have not needed. I'm thinking about a little bit of therapy. I got a couple things that I would like to get tuned up, but I don't need to go through a depression group, and I don't need to go through things like that. I don't need to sort that out because I've been able to sit down and find the things that had me so deep in depression for so long. I got these sponsees that we give the options now of, you know, there's like four different ways to do a step four in Al-Anon. You know, we can just go to Paths to Recovery. We can work out of that. We can do the four columns out of the AA, you know, the big book. And, you know, I get these sponsees and they say, well, let's use this book. It's like, this is a four step. It goes through, I mean, it's crazy. The questions. How do I try to control the emotional, financial, and physical lives of my loved ones? And I just go through a list after list of that stuff. My kids, if my kids would listen to me, they wouldn't have to go through all the heartbreak that they've gone through. And you know what they tell me? I'm never going to learn it if you don't let me learn it on my own, Dad. Some of the things I do for others that they could do for themselves. First, what do I do? The first thing I get here, there's a table sitting where I didn't think was a good place for it. The first thing I do is I got to fix a problem that nobody else knows exists, and it really probably isn't a problem, but it's still ingrained in me to fix a problem whether or not it really exists. I didn't know that. I didn't know that I had those tendencies. I found that here. Those things can drive me crazy. My job at work, I found out that they're cashing in on my control and hypervigilance and so forth like that. They're just cashing in on it because that's what my job is. I'm quality control and, you know, quality assurance manager, you know, and on my jobs. And that's what I have to go look for. I have to go look for where you screwed up. I'm good at that. When I got here, it was Alateen was a big part of what I was doing. Alateen, you know, we have sponsors, but those sponsors, it's not sponsored like AA, it's sponsored to a meeting called AMIAS's, Al-Anon Members and Alateen Service. And so, you know, we go in and we listen. We sit there to make sure that the meeting is safe, and we just listen to the kids and let them run the meeting. It's a 12-step meeting. And, you know, one of the readings out of there is, before Alateen, I was an island. I felt separated from everyone around me. Trying to talk to my peers and family was like putting a message in a bottle and hoping someone would find it and understand. I came to Alateen. The members refused to allow me to isolate. They welcomed me like I was an old friend. I felt important and worthy of love for the first time. This love was a foundation on which to build my recovery. In Alateen, I have never felt alone. Whenever I've reached out for help, the loving hand of the program has always been there. Thanks, everyone. It really works. You know, it was readings like that in the Alateen books. You know, this is Courage to Be Me. It's an Alateen book, and it was readings like that that was able to let me look deep into myself and understand that I could sit right there in the middle of that room, and you could be talking to me, and you could be sitting right beside me, and I felt vastly alone. You know, many of you have seen me in rooms. I think Pete was at a room. We had 2,500 people there. It's not that I felt like I was doing it alone. I just felt alone there. I did not feel that I had that warmth around me. And when I heard that and when I read that, it was like, really, that can happen. This program, it says uncover, recover, and discard. You know, that it's one of those things that, to me, it's very, very challenging for me to sit down and for someone to say something that resonates with me. If it goes to my core, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to touch it. I don't want to, you know, if somebody says something that brings tears to my eyes, the last thing I want to do is to sit down and start working on that. Al-Anon has taught me how to do that, and it has given me the safety to do that. I've got people around Al-Anon that I can safely say, this is what I'm thinking. Turns out, go, oh, man, when that happened to me, you know, it's just, it has become truly amazing, who I've become. And, you know, my job, I was, before I started in recovery, I had 42 jobs in 16 years. The last thing I wanted was somebody to fire me. If I thought I was going to get fired, don't go to work. If they can't find you, they can't fire you. So, sometimes they'd send me that last check, sometimes they wouldn't. I can remember the first time in recovery when I felt like I was going to be fired. I was like, I'm not going in today. And I finally called my sponsor. My sponsor says, go to work, dumbass. Okay. I went to work. Sure enough, I got called into the office that day. I'm like, oh, my God. So I just wanted to just drop the keys off to the truck and just walk home. I walked into his office, and we're talking for a little bit. And so he wants to give me a promotion. He wants to, you know, put me up to a service manager. Like, huh, what the heck? I learned that I couldn't trust myself. You know, and that just sounded so foreign to me for so long that I can't trust myself. I cannot trust what's going on in my head. I can't trust what I start to believe about myself. And I got to tell other people what I'm saying. You know, you know, the internet sent me a wonderful sounding board, and she disagrees with me from time to time, and it's like, oh shit. Because when I tell her how bad things are going on in my head, she says, don't beat up on yourself. You know, this weekend, everything is fine, right? Everything is fine. I can give you a list of problems that I've got going on this weekend. I can give you a whole list. And none of it, you know, I'm here, you know, we're here, our task is to, you know, give you sound, give you karaoke, record this stuff. We're doing all of that. It's not in that perfect little window. It says, don't beat up on yourself. The job that I've got now, I've been at this job, this year is 23 years. This December is 23 years. I can't go any higher as far as positions in my company. I've topped out, and that's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. There's no way that this guy is going to put himself out there and to give you the opportunity to put me down or to attack me or whatever my job. And I can tell you that in my position, I'm attacked. I mean, it's just part of the job. And anybody that's in a leadership management role at a high level understands that that is just what comes with the job. And it's not personal. Oh, who would have known that? It's not personal. It's part of the job. No big deal. Along with that, you know, we've got a great living. We live in a great place. I've got a car that I hate once a month, but only for a few minutes until I press enter. You know, I hate it every March because, like, really? You got to pay that every year? There you go. You know, I've been able to pay several cars off. I've been able to, you know, I've got too damn much credit. I got too many things that I've wanted. So what do you do? You go get it. You know, my mom was one of the people in my steps that I had probably the most difficult time getting on the other side of being angry with. It took a lot of work to get past her because of how I was raised. And, you know, she didn't raise me, she didn't hate me. She didn't know how to be a mother. She was 17 years old in a protected environment. She had anger and frustration, and she didn't know how to do it, and she did it wrong, and it hurt. It hurt emotionally. It hurt physically. When it came time for, she went through cancer. She went through all of that stuff, and, you know, when it came time for her to take her last breath, I wanted to leave that room because I didn't want to watch it, and I was talked into staying in there and holding her until she took her last breath, and I was still angry with her. I was still angry because I never got the courage to sit down and talk through that stuff with her and to hear her side of it. And I've had to work with other people that had those situations, and they've had to tell me their mom's side of it. I don't like the way I grew up. I don't like the way that I was punished. I don't like the way that I was raised, but I love the woman that did her best. It was, and I'll tell you, I can't do that any other way than with a program like this. Convinced that how I felt about my mom led to my first divorce, led to many situations that I did not like about women. And when I first got into recovery, that was one of the first things that I asked, that God give me the ability to respect women and have women respect me. And I can tell you today that I believe that we have reached that goal. You know, I've spent a lot of time with a lot of women in this program. work side by side respectfully, one, you know, and I couldn't do that before. You know, my relationship with my wife and how I respect and love her is absolutely phenomenal, that I can have that absolute trust with someone else and know that I'm not going to get hurt for no reason. If I do something wrong, maybe I'm supposed to get a little hurt, but whatever. So I don't know where I'm at here. Yeah, I'm not. How he was able to put together another 15 and 20 minutes here this morning is beyond me, because I don't know how in the hell. I got no clue how I'm going to put together another 20 minutes. I'm going to tell you that right now. Our books, Paths to Recovery, it's very similar to the AA Big Book. And between that one and How Al-Anon Works, you know, when I went through How Al-Anon Works, I'm reading it and I'm going, wow, yeah, that's how I grew up. Oh, yeah, that's how my relationships are with other people. Oh, that's how my relationship is. And it was just described it. In Paths to Recovery, it says, in Al-Anon, we talk about how the disease of alcoholism in a loved one has affected our own thinking and behavior. By sharing our Al-Anon recovery, we offer others the courage and wisdom we have found. From the perspective of having lived with an alcoholic, by concentrating on the Al-Anon message, we are challenged to search within ourselves, scratch deeply, I guess. Anyway, search within ourselves to determine how we can best apply Al-Anon principles to our own personal recovery. Sharing then becomes beneficial for both the newcomer and for the messenger. And that's the whole thing, you know, it says for the newcomer and the messenger. I was taught early on to make sure that you're sponsoring people. And God has given me some of the most intriguing newcomers that I could imagine sometimes. And I would call my sponsor up and I'd say, what am I supposed to teach this guy? What am I supposed to show him? What the hell are you talking about? The sponsee is there to show you something. What are you supposed to learn from that sponsee? Like, huh, but I'm supposed to be guiding them through. No, you're supposed to be working the steps together with that sponsee. Doesn't say you're supposed to be teaching them anything. You're supposed to work the steps together. Once I learned that, I'm open arms. You know, send me a newcomer, send me an old timer, send me someone and I'll sit down and I'll go through the program with you, because what I learned from that is everything that God is bringing me that's going to affect my life. I've got my twin. I swear this guy is my twin. He's traveling around. He's working long hours. He's doing all the things that I'm doing, and I'm constantly telling him, says, you know, you're going to have to pay a little more attention to your wife. You know, you're going to have to, you know, that kitty is going to get older before you know it. It's going to be a full-grown cat. It's pretty important to people. Miss the kitten years. You know, so, but we're going through this. He chose to do this book over a four-column AA Big Book. Oh my gosh. And that's what I wouldn't have chosen to go through that. I flipped through that book and went, whew, that's going to be a tough book someday. And it is. I've got another one right now that he rolled me back the early days when I met Sherry Well, before, you know, about a year before I met her, I would ask him, I'd kind of like to get into a relationship. He says, okay, you ready? I says, yeah. He says, okay. He says, what I want you to do is I want you to go home, I want you to get a sheet of paper, and I want you to give me a list of all the assets that you can bring into a relationship. So after a few more steps and a few more meetings and some more work, about a year later, I said, I'd like to get into a relationship. I said, I met this lady online. He says, I want you to go home. I want you to make a list of everything that you can take into a relationship. And I did that. And I'm going to tell you, just in a year of being able to apply these steps and apply these principles, these 12 steps, to be able to take those two lists and put them side by side, it was amazing. When I went into that relationship, I was walking into it with confidence that I was walking into it as I can be equal. I can be somebody in this relationship. You know, today, I go home and she asks me any question she wants. You know what I do when she asks me a question? I look her in the eye and answer it. Wow. I can remember with my first wife, my first wife would say, where were you? Couldn't answer it. Yeah. My second wife, where were you? I couldn't answer it. It's been a week. Where have you been? I couldn't answer it. I was looking to fill that hole in my gut. That's what I was doing. That's where I was. I was trying to fill that hole in my gut. And it wasn't out there. It wasn't there. It was in here. I looked in, you know, and I'm still treating alcoholism. And alcoholism has various facets. And the facet that I found is in the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon Alateen. And I want to thank you, and I want to thank you for the wonderful basket. Oh, my God. It's almost gone, by the way. And I think the basket that I got was better than the one that Sherry got last year. I'm so grateful. Thank you for trusting me today to stand up here. And you know, many of you know that knew that I was from AA and into Al-Anon, and you know, that's always a risky step to. All right, let's see how they're doing that. And today I'm able to, because of my honesty and my directness about how things are, I'm able to be of service at the area level of Al-Anon. You know, I get to, for whatever reason, we're doing this at Al-Anon at the area level. We're renting buildings and we prepare for people to be able to go in and do their assemblies and take care of the business that keeps this program safe and the same to wherever you go anywhere. You're going to walk into a meeting, it's going to be an Al-Anon meeting. It's going to look that way because of the worldwide service. Thank you.